Job chapter 11. And we will start with verse 1. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, "Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should your lies make men hold their peace? And when you mock, shall no man make thee ashamed? For you have said, 'My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes.' But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you, and that he would show you the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacts of thee less than your iniquity deserves. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gathered together, then who can hinder him? For he knows vain men. He sees wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in your hand, put it far away. And let not wickedness dwell in your tabernacles, for then will you lift up your face without spot. You will be steadfast and shall not fear, because you shall forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. And your age shall be clearer than the noonday. You will shine forth. You shall be as the morning. And you shall be secure, because there is hope. Yea, you will dig about you, and you will take your rest in safety. Also, you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fall, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. Please strengthen us and help us learn from this person in the Bible who is not doing as you would have him do. Help us learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So Zophar gives the most appalling speech up to this point. And as we can see, he starts really by actually accusing Job, just flat out accusing him. Let's look again. It says, verse 2, "Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should your lies make men hold their peace? And when you mock, shall no man make you ashamed?" See, he's just flat out saying, you are a sin, you are in a mess. And verse 6 says that, he says, "You deserve double as much as what God is giving you." There's a couple of problems here. One, no person who trusts in Christ gets what they truly deserve. And that's a good thing. Now, I know that Job existed before Jesus was born of a virgin. He did not exist before Christ. And while Job may not have known everything about the Messiah that was coming, Job did have faith in God, and he did live for God. Now, mind you, the faith in God is what
saved him. We know Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness.
But Job was righteous by God's standard. Now, was Zophar in a sense right when he said, what you're getting is double what you deserve? Maybe, maybe not.
I mean, I think that if I was dealing with what Job was dealing with, what he deserved was double what he was getting, I would probably think, yeah, for me. Now, during it, I wouldn't. But after the fact, looking back, I'd probably be like, yeah, because I've always said I'm better than I deserve. I know I deserve worse than what I get here on earth. I know that. But by the grace of God, thankfully,
that is the truth. However, I don't think Zophar meant it that way. I think what Zophar meant was, if God was really going to dish it out to you, what you really deserve, you'd really be in a mess. Man, that's an insult. That is an insult. And the funny thing is Job had no clue.
Zophar had no clue what Job had or had not done. And that almost makes it humorous if it wasn't so pitifully sick. Is he sitting there spewing these insults? You're a liar. You're this. You're that. Really? Where were you when all this was going on? Because Job wasn't even there. And it's him you're accusing. Where were you when all this was going on?
I know I'm guilty of this. But it's when we talk before we think.
It's a dangerous thing. And it can really be hurtful to people. And we need to be careful and use our words cautiously. And Zophar missed that. He missed it. He didn't get it. The fact that he was speaking and he didn't even know what he was talking about. Like, if somebody stopped and asked him, one of the things that Greg Kokel says, that we might talk of later today or later on in the lesson, if you was to ask Zophar, what do you mean by that? How did you come to that conclusion? He would have been as dumbfounded as anybody else, because guess what? He hadn't even come to that. His conclusion was based on presupposition. He just assumed that because Job was having it bad, that he did something bad. And he wasn't willing to take no for an answer. But he had seen no evil.
And here's another question that I think is important. Had Zophar examined himself? If nothing else, his pride and arrogance of knowing what God was doing was a sin in itself.
Well, you're not even getting what God, you know, like he has the authority to speak for God.
Listen, when a preacher comes behind a pulpit or anybody goes out there and says that God is doing this and God is doing that, you better make real sure.
Because the only thing I know of that God is doing, other than keeping us alive, is what this book says. And I learned a long time ago that if somebody starts saying, thus saith the Lord, they better make real sure that the Lord said it. And here's Zophar, and he's just that close to saying, well, God, and speaking for God, he's in a dangerous place right now. Had Zophar examined himself? I don't think so. Because if he had, he would have seen
that he needed to keep his mouth shut. You know, we're guilty of this too. We are.
When we see somebody somewhere doing something that we think they shouldn't be doing, we start talking. The problem with that is, one, we don't know the whole situation. And two, most of the time we got our own mess to deal with. I remember Jesus talking about how somebody is trying to help somebody get a splinter out of his eye, and he's got a two before in his own. That makes a real bad situation. I mean, a lot of times I think it's kind of like something out of the Three Stooges, but in all honesty, that can hurt somebody. Physically, if that was really happening, it could hurt somebody. And spiritually, in real life, when somebody is trying to help somebody with a problem that they're still dealing with themselves, it causes a whole lot of damage. Zophar was wrong. Just flat out wrong in his accusation. Look at verse 7. Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Now Zophar is right. Let's read it again. Because I want you to find something. Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what can you do? Deeper than hell, what can you know? I don't know if you caught it, but there's two things I find here. Zophar was repeating what Job had already said last week. One. Two, there's something else I catch.
I want to read it again. Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? Yet he proclaimed to know what God was doing.
Do you get that? On one hand, he says, I know what God's doing. On another, he says, who can know the mind of God? Talking out of both ends of his mouth, and everything that comes out is tainted. Now, is it true that we can't understand the mind of God?
Yeah, I think so. To a point. Now, I think there are certain things that God reveals to us that we can't understand, and that's written in this book. And with study and prayer and asking God to show us what he means and taking things in actual context and understanding, we can get the mind of God. But we can never fully grasp it. God said, your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So yeah, Zophar's right in that. He's right, but he's not heeding his own advice. Verse 10, if he cut off and shut up or gathered together, then who can hinder him? For he knows vain men, seeks the wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For a vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. He says, God's going to punish the guilty, and you can't get out of it. And Job's already said this. Job has already said this. And it almost seems like he's saying, man is nothing compared to God, and Job's already said that too. See, after Zophar's accusation, we see Zophar's repetition of what Job had said. And then we see Zophar's misconceptions. Let's look at verse 13. If you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him, if iniquity be in your hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in your tabernacles, for then will you lift up your face without spot. Then you will be steadfast, and you will not fear, because you will forget thy misery and remember it as the waters that pass away. Well, to a point, Zophar might have something here. When he says you can lift up your face without spot. That's true. If you are living for Christ, if you put sin away from you, then you can lift up to God your face without spot. And there is a peace in that. There is. The problem is, again, Zophar had the misconception that Job was doing something wrong. He had this preconceived idea that he just couldn't seem to shake off. Then he says, you will forget your misery and remember it as waters that pass away. Well, we know that's not true, because Job is righteous and he's still going through it. And your age shall be clearer than the noonday. You will shine forth. You will be as the morning, and you will be secure because there is hope. Yea, you will dig about you, and you will take your rest in safety. Also, you will lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. Over and over and over and over again, we see Job's friends making this misconception, this preconceived notion, and it's this, that bad things never happen to good people. You see it repeated over and over and over again. I want to tell you something. There are times when you read Proverbs, and it does say you will have success if you follow the Lord. It does say that. And as a general rule, that's true. Because if you follow what God's Word says, your life is better. Also, though, what do you consider success? Because what God considers success and what I consider success may be two different things. So yes, there are places in the Bible where we see good things happen to good people, but it doesn't say that bad things will never happen. And a lot of times when you're dealing with Proverbs, you're dealing with general rules. It's not foolproof. In a normal circumstance, with no outside interference, if I put my heart to God and I follow Him all the days of my life with no outside interference, I will have success. But because the devil's men are out there, and there is persecution, and the devil is out there, and there are trials and pain and tribulation, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Not to mention the fact that we live in a world stricken by sin. With sin comes disease and the curse of the earth and the bad things that happen on it, natural disasters and whatever else you can think of, not to mention the flies that come in our house about this time of year that we don't like. I think that's all part of the curse that sin brought into the world. bad things do happen to good people. And then we see verse 20, it says, "The eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost." And
you know, it's true that the eyes of evil will fail. But here's that misconception that's repeated again. People have the misconception that good things never happen to bad people. So kind of a twist to the other one. Oh yeah, there's good things that happen to bad people all the time. Look at all the rich atheists out there. Just look at them. Look at all these people that are in politics right now that are trying to kill babies and lie to people and steal and cheat. Oh yeah, good things happen to evil people all the time. But
the evil man's day is coming. Make no mistake. The evil man's day is coming. The wicked will fall, but it may not come until eternity. It may not come until eternity. No one ever will escape the punishment and the wrath of God. The only way to escape that
is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to escape the wrath of God. Otherwise, we're all headed for hell. Until we come to the point that we realize we're a sinner, we realize we sin, we realize this ain't good, and we turn to God to fix it. And we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior because He died on the cross and He rose from the dead.
That's the only way we shall escape. But how many times do we see these
friends in? I know it's hard for me to call them friends, but I have to still call them friends because I do think they're meaning well. They're trying to talk some sense into Job, but Job's trying to talk sense into them and nobody's listening to anybody. Of course, Job's in the right.
But you see, over and over again, these lies repeated.
That bad things don't happen to good people. And that good things don't happen to bad people. And that everything is hunky-dory. If you do what God wants you to do, nothing will ever go bad. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. The world also likes to say that if my good works outweigh my bad works when I die, I'll go to heaven. A million people can repeat a lie. It's still a lie. And I want to take that for a second. And I want us to look at that. Because I want us to see these people that think that if my good outweighs my bad, if I am good enough for God, then I'll get to heaven. Those people are trying to outrun the wrath of God. And you cannot do it. You can't do it. The only way we can escape the judgment of God is through Jesus Christ.
Nathan, you repeat it over and over and over again about the cross and Jesus. Even when the sermon isn't really about that, well, I want to tell you something. This whole Bible is about Jesus Christ in some form or fashion. And if I do not go to the cross, I have not preached. And if there's anybody who truly trusts Jesus Christ and turns from their sin, and I want to give them every chance, every single chance they can have to do that.